Hello and welcome. I'd like to thank you once again for joining with us as we come around God's precious word. My name is Timothy Omerod. I'm the minister of Six Mile Cross, a Free Presbyterian church in County Tyrone, Northern Ireland. And we always, as a church, every week we would come together and worship God on the Sunday morning at 11:30 and again on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. And also on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. we gather together as a band of believers, and we read God's word, we study it, and we have a time of prayer together. One of the things that we do every week in our worship service is we read a psalm each Sunday, and I believe it would be good for us to keep that practice up. And so over the next number of weeks in our prayer meeting time, which is normally the Wednesday night at 8, we're going to read that psalm together, and then we're simply going to do a brief study of the psalm. And so as we go through the Psalms, this week we come to Psalm 55. And I encourage you, if you have a Bible even with you, that you open that Bible at Psalm 55 and you follow along in the reading with us. Psalm 55, it is entitled to the chief musician on Neginoth, a Mashgal, a Psalm of David. In the verse 1 it says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove! For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off, and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked on to the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Just want to look at this psalm with you in our time together this evening. And I've simply entitled it, Four Approaches to Handling Trials in Your Life. Last Sunday morning, in our time together around God's word, we looked together at Psalm 3. We highlighted the context of that psalm, how at that time, when it was penned, Absalom had taken over the throne and David had had to flee for his life from the city of Jerusalem. It is believed that Psalm 55 is also one of those psalms that was penned at that time. And in particular, it's penned just before David fled from Jerusalem. In other words, Absalom has taken over, and David is very quickly gathering his possessions, or gathering those people that are coming with him, and he's about to leave the city, about to flee for his life. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he first of all sits down and writes this psalm. And certainly that time in David's life was a very difficult time. It was a very testing time. In many regards, his future was uncertain. In many regards, he did not know if he would ever return to Jerusalem. He did not know if he would ever regain his throne and regain his kingdom. In the midst of all of that upheaval, that great dramatic change in David's life and circumstances, it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he pens this psalm. And as we have read it together, and even now as we study it, I believe that there are four approaches, or four different directions that David looks. And may I encourage you, and may I encourage each one at this time, even to have this approach that David takes, as all of our lives have dramatically changed, that we will look even as David looked. The four different looks that David gave at this time, the four different approaches, I want you to see firstly, the verses 1 to 5, David looks within, and we too must look within. David begins the psalm with the words, "Give ear to my prayer and my supplication." The verse 2, he says the words, "Attend unto me, I mourn." The verse 4, he says, "My heart is sore pained." And at this time, as he's writing this psalm, David is looking within. He's looking at all of the pain and the distress, the change that there was at that time in all of society, in his life as in general, and in the lives of so many. So much had changed, but yet David pauses, and the first place that he looks is inward. He looks at his past. He looks at his actions. He looks at his life. He looks at his testimony up till that point, and he's asking the question, is there a reason within me why this has happened? Is there a fault within me that has caused all of these things to come to pass? And we see that he doesn't like what he sees. In verse 2, it tells us he mourns. In verse 4, it tells us that his heart is sore pained. He realizes that he had failed his son Absalom in his upbringing. He realizes that he had failed his nation and his care for them, hence the nation had turned away to Absalom. And most importantly, he realizes that as he looks inward, he realizes he had failed the Lord. He had let down his Lord and Savior. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had killed Bathsheba's husband Uriah, even to try and cover up his sins. And he laments his faults and his failings. As he looks within, he's looking back, he's looking at his heart, his mind, his actions, and he laments that state that he finds himself in and those actions which he has performed. You know, some may say that in the midst of that crisis, in the midst of that time in his life, his approach is all wrong and his prayers are all wrong. That surely he should have been looking to those around him first. Surely he should have been praying for his people first. Surely he should have been praying for the nation first. And he should have left himself to the last. Some may say he was being very selfish. But the truth is that for David, in order for David to be able to help others, in order for David to be able to pray for others, first of all, he had to deal with himself. And his own heart had to be dealt with first. You think of the words of Psalm 66, the verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And so before David could intercede on behalf of his kingdom and his people, he first had to intercede on behalf of himself. And I wonder at this time, with everything that's going on in our land and in our world, have you paused and searched your own heart? Have you sought the Lord's forgiveness for your sins? Yes, you may say, "Oh, this is a global pandemic. This is something that that began over in Asia. It's spread right across the world. It's affecting almost every nation in the world. It's not just down to me. So why should I even look at myself? Well, David could have taken that approach. David could have said, oh, I'm a king, and kingdoms rise against kingdoms. Men rise against men. There are always going to be times of uprising. It's part and parcel of being a king. It's to be expected. But David didn't take that approach. David looked within. He saw issues. He saw places where he was once devoted. He saw places where he was once more firm and more faithful in his approach. And he realized there were areas of his life that he had let slip. And today, even in this time, I urge God's people not just to self-isolate, but also to self-examine, to search your heart, to examine your heart, to examine your life, to examine your actions, your thoughts, your words. And if there are any ways and any faults and feelings in your life where you've let the Lord down and where you're not where you once were, let me encourage you to confess those things to the Lord. And let me encourage you to get back to where you were once with the Lord, to seek his forgiveness and to even draw closer. Whether your feelings have been in your devotions, whether your feelings have been in your attendance to the house of the Lord, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or the prayer meeting night, whether it be your love and worship for the Lord that was once burning so strong and yet has grown so cold, whether it be your faith in him that you once trusted him for everything and now you're trusting others instead of just trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to get back to that place where you once were. Seek his forgiveness. Confess unto the Lord. The Lord has promised that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. David looked within. But then the second part I want you to see, David also looked beyond. In verses 6-8, he's speaking there and he says, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. I would wander far off, I would remain in the desert or in the wilderness, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm." And you know, we can look at this virus, we can look at this lockdown, we can say, oh, I just can't wait for it to be over. I can't wait to get past this section in my life. I can't wait until everything is lifted and life can go back to normal and all of this stress and this worry, I can get past it all. This virus, this lockdown, it will come to an end. Things will go back to normal in terms of life. As it tells us in scripture, and we read it so often, but we don't maybe apply it this way always, but whenever we read those words, "and it came to pass," this virus has come and this virus will pass. And sometimes in the midst of trouble, sometimes in the midst of a trial in our lives, our first thought is, how do I get out of this? How do I get past this? But a child of God who is walking with the Lord, who is seeking to have that close union and communion with the Lord, ought to be asking the question, what can I get out of this? We believe the words of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. And if we truly believe that verse, that all things work together for good, including pandemics, including sicknesses, including trials, if all of those things are coming together and God has a purpose and God has a plan in all of those things, then we ought to be asking the question, why has God sent it? What is God seeking to teach us through it? What is there even in this pandemic that is there for our instruction and for our faith and for our guidance? And I trust and pray that even through this time that the Lord will teach us, that the Lord will instruct us, that the Lord will even draw us closer to him. We are separated in many ways at this time. We cannot come together as we once did. But yet I encourage and I pray that each one will even draw closer to the Lord, that our faith will be strengthened during this time, that we will know what it is to spend more time with the Lord in prayer and in study. I trust and pray that our desire even for going and fellowshipping in the Lord's house will increase. I don't know about you, but I can certainly say that I miss being in the house of the Lord on the Sunday. I miss being in the house of the Lord on the Monday night with the children and in the Wednesday night in the prayer meeting. I miss those occasions that I can come together with God's people, that we can sing together God's praises, we can read his word, and we can study it together. You know, sometimes it's said that we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone. And for so many years, we just take it for granted. The church is open on a Sunday and everything is there, and we can just come and go as we please, and we can come when we want, and we don't have to go if we don't want to. But yet now we can't go at all. And I do earnestly pray that that desire will be placed in each of us, that when the doors are opened once again and we are allowed to join together in the public worship, that that desire, that hunger will be in each of our hearts to gather every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, and every child of God will come every Wednesday night. That every time that we can come together, that we will even spend those times together. David, in these verses, in the verses 6-8, he's really wanting to get past that danger. He's really wanting to get away from it, to move to that quiet place, that wilderness. He wants to be like the dove who can fly the long distance and can find shelter in the rocks, as it tells us in Jeremiah 48 and 28. But you know, even better than the dove, the child of God can be like the eagle. It tells us in Isaiah that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and you think of how high an eagle soars. An eagle can go up into the very heavens, as it were, and it can get above even the storms. And it can be up there without even a thought or a care, without even a great exercise or effort having to be made to keep himself up there. And that's the joy and that's the privilege that every Christian can have. That they that wait upon the Lord, their strength is renewed. And whenever they wait upon the Lord, when they wait upon him in prayer, when they wait upon him in worship, when they wait upon him as they read God's word, that they can soar into the heavens, they can soar above the storms of life, and they can look down in those storms, and they can be above them, and they can be ever closer to the Lord. I know that that would be our experience, that we would look beyond, that we would get beyond these trials, and that we would know what it is even to be closer to the Lord. David looked within, he looked beyond. And in the verses 9 to 15, and also the verse 20 and 21, David looks around. And I believe even in our circumstances that we ought to look around. The verse 9, it tells us, "Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city." And he goes on to say about all of the different wickednesses. And David at that time, he certainly wasn't living in denial. He knew how bad things were. And he knew that it could get a lot worse. And even at that time, he knew that he was on his own. He didn't have all of the backup that he once had. Yes, he had some that clave to him. He had some that cared for him. But he didn't have everything that he once had. And he was able to acknowledge, he was able to look around and be honest before the Lord. And he said, the verse 9, there are great problems and evils in the city. The verse 10, he says that it's continuous. It's day and night. He also saw that it was everywhere. The verse 11. Wickedness is in the midst. It's all over the streets. He spoke of how he had been betrayed by a friend. The verse 13 and 14. One of his own people. One of his nearest and his dearest had turned against him. Everything that seemed impossible to David just a little while before had now come to pass. If you had told David, I'm sure at the start of that year, that David, by a certain date in this year, your son will have turned against you and risen up against you. He will have turned the people against you. He will have turned the nation against you. And he will have even turned some of your friends against you. That your son will go against you and there will be a coup. Your own friends will turn on you. your own friends will take over, and you'll have to leave your throne, you'll have to leave your home, your city. I believe David would have said, no, that's impossible. If you had said to me at the start of 2020 that by March all churches would be closed and all schools would be shut and the economy would be at a standstill and everyone would be staying at their homes right across the world, billions of people being encouraged to stay in their houses, I would have told you that's just impossible. Because in our human understanding, we would never think that the entire world could come to a standstill. And yet it's happened. You see, no man knoweth what a day will bring forth. Only the Lord does. No man knoweth how much is going to happen and what's going to happen each and every year that we come into. Who's going to be there at the end of the year? Who's going to be new or what's going to happen within that year? Child of God, let me say this. Even at this time of pandemic, and even at this time of uncertainty, let me encourage you to take encouragement from what I'm about to say. It's not my words. It was said to me. And therefore, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just simply passing it on. But child of God, what is the worst that can happen to a Christian in this pandemic? The worst that can happen is that we die and we go to be with the Lord in heaven. What is the best that can happen in this pandemic? That we die and we go to be with the Lord, which is far better. Paul the Apostle, he wrote, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because he knew that whenever he died, it would be absent from the body, it would be present with the Lord. You see, we can look around, we can see how awful things are, we can see how hard things are, and we can come at it with a clear vision. We can come at it with an honest vision that the Lord's will be done. And for the Christian, there's no fear, there's no panic, because if we die, we go to be with the Lord, which is far better. David looked within. David looked beyond. He looked around. Then finally, in the verses 16 to 19, and also the verses 22 and 23, David looked up. David had been honest about his own heart. He'd been honest about his present circumstances. And all of those things, whenever he looked within, whenever he looked around, when he looked beyond, all of those things came together and caused him to look up, to lift his eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh his help. And it tells us in those verses that he prayed. And he prayed, it tells us in verse 17, he prays every day. And he prays at all times of the day. It says in the verse 17, he prayed in the evening. He prayed in the morning. And he prayed at noon. His faith and his confidence is completely in the Lord. And that ought to be our experience. Each and every one of us who is saved, remember this. Christ Jesus loves you because he died for you. He shed his precious blood. He took your sin. He took your punishment. He made them his very own. And he bore all of that wrath of God. He suffered, he bled, he died that you might have salvation. And he has promised never to leave you. He has promised never to lose you. And he has promised to never let you fall. You see why? Because he holds us in his hand. You know, there is a difference. There's a difference between us holding Christ's hand and Christ holding our hand. If we are to hold Christ's hand and we take Christ's hand and we put it into ours, then the devil could come and cut off our arm, cut off our hand, and then we would be lost. But when Christ holds us in his hand, the devil can't touch Christ. And therefore the devil cannot break that union and that connection that there is between the Lord and his people. We're safe in his hands. The devil will never be able to pluck you out of his hand. He is ours and we are his. And David, even as he's summing up his psalm, he says the words, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You know, it's a wonderful joy to be saved. It's a wonderful joy to have peace with God. It's a wonderful joy to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is my own and my personal Savior. It's a wonderful joy to know that even in the midst of life and all of the things that can happen in the lifetime, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has never left us. We're saved from God's judgment. We're saved from God's hell. We're saved even in this life. We're saved from fear, from panic. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great burden bearer. He's there for us to cast all of our care upon. He's there to sustain us. He's there to even be with us and to carry us even home. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to look to the Lord, to trust him for everything. But I wonder, even, are there those that are listening that are not saved? Can you honestly say that you have that experience of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? You know, everything that we've been saying, maybe you have to be honest and you're saying, "Look, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had that experience or done any of those things that you've said. I don't have that confidence in Christ. I don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you're talking about." Let me encourage you, even where you are, you simply turn and cry unto the Lord. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to save you, to wash you in his precious blood, and to give you even that peace that passeth all understanding. David, he looked within. He looked beyond. He looked around. But praise the Lord, he looked up. Child of God, in these days, look up. Look up. Look on to the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We do rejoice, O God, in the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that each and every one, that we will even have those times in our lives that we examine ourselves, we look within, and we see if there be any faults in us. O God, show us our faults. Bring them even to light that we can confess them to thee. And we can even, O God, be cleansed from them. Lord, we ask thee in these days that we will keep our eyes upon the Lord. That we will look up and we will rejoice that our redemption draweth nigh. O God, bless us, we pray. Bless each one who will even listen to this broadcast. Bless each one of our church family as well. Watch over them and keep them safe in these days. O God, speak and glorify thy Son even through the proclamation of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you once again for tuning in and for listening. And I do pray that the Lord will bless. If you're saved, let me encourage you, even as this is the Wednesday night and we usually meet for prayer, let me encourage you even to spend time in your own house, whether in your own or with your family, and have that time even with the Lord when you pray over this psalm, and you pray that the Lord will even apply it to your heart. And that the Lord will bless you. Thank you again for tuning in. Remember, we'll be back once again on Sunday morning at 11:30. May God bless each one.